22. Genesis 22. Kelly, I feel the same way on beach camp week. We removed a couple rows from the back. We're missing almost 300 people. There, can you imagine a beach camp with 300 people in it? The pool was, they sent a video of it. It was insane. I'm thinking, insurance, be careful. But we did not have a church split that I'm aware of. So I just wanted to tell y'all. But we know that our young people in their language and in their environment are not only being able to be teenagers all day, and, you know, they've got more of a light show than we have, and just young people stuff, but the gospel is being preached, and the word of God is being taught, and we're praying that God would touch them and turn them into mighty men and women of God. You can remain seated this morning. I just want to read this to you. Genesis 22:1, and it came to pass that God did test Abraham. A better word translated is proved Abraham. And he said, Abraham, yes, Lord, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll show you. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and chopped the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place that God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the donkey and I and the boy will go yonder and worship. And we're going to come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went together. And Isaac spoke unto his father and said, Father, yes, son, I see the fire in the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told Abraham of. And he built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham raised his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, Lord. Do not lay your hand upon this child, neither do anything unto him. For I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him as a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen or provided. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, now by myself or against my own character, I swear, says the Lord, because you've done this thing, mark that in your Bible, and you've not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned unto his young men. They rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt there. The Lord is dealing with your pastor in simple ways, in deep ways, and profound ways for me personally. And oftentimes, not because I am any different, and I'm most assuredly not any better, but oftentimes what he does in the pastor, he wants to do in people in the church that he is the under shepherd of. He's been talking to me about surrender. Surrender. Unconditional, absolute, joyful, willing surrender. Surrender means to cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. Well, God's not my enemy or opponent. He's an enemy to your flesh. And it means to cease resisting. A holy life has two sides. What God commands us to do and what God wants to do in our life. Lordship is really an issue about control. We're all a slave. Everyone in this room is a slave. And by that I mean you are controlled by something or someone. The issue is, who is it or what is it? Lordship is always about control. It's singular. Luke 16 says, no one can serve two masters. You can't have two lords because you'll hate one and love the other. You'll hold to one and despise the other. So it can't be God and self. It can't be God and flesh. It can't be God in the world or God in others. It's just one. And the devil tricks us into thinking, well, you got two. You kind of yield this way more to God, but God understands. When we as Christians say every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Savior, that He is Lord to the glory of God, in the second coming, the revelation, they're going to bow their knee, which means I haven't been yielding to your lordship. And what He wants in the church, one of the primary things that He looks for is not just what we're not doing, which is required. We're not to live like the world. But what are we doing? What does the surrender look like? Is it is the surrender forced? Is it strained? Is it fearful? Is it with complaint? Lordship is easy to discern. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And here's what I want to say before I get into the sermon. In this morning's sermon, I'm just going to give you main points. It's not so much a sermon. And I trust that you just go home and do an honest assessment in these areas. And there's much in this story that shows us about surrender. This is the extreme expression. But obedience is simply the external manifestation of an internal surrender. That's all it is. Whether it's something as simple as be a friend to this person, yes. Or give me your son, yes. Our problem is we're trying to do something externally before it's happened internally. And if He's the Lord, then it's yes, Lord. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the surrendered life. What if God spoke to you this morning? I'll tell you this, if He does, it'll change everything. Father, I just humble myself before You. And I confess publicly what I've already prayed privately. I don't want to be an unwilling servant. I don't want to control where I go, where my family goes, what we do, what we have. And I just yield my heart to You the best I know how. I know I'm fickle at best, but I give it all to You, O Lord, today. I am in full surrender to You as far as I know my heart. And the parts that aren't, conquer them, O Lord, I pray. In the name of Your Son, I thank You for this great privilege that's mine, that such a weak and unworthy vessel could preach the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His word. Anoint me this morning, Lord, to preach with great clarity and power that people could leave today saying, today I heard the voice of God for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Our surrender to God, number one, and there's 11, so it won't take long, I promise. It don't have to be eternal, you know? So I'm going to give it to you quickly, but you got to listen good. And respond, because sometimes when you preach kind of a deeper message, y'all just kind of go. And that puts me on edge and makes me tell jokes that aren't funny. So I need you to respond. You know, it doesn't have to be shout you down, but yes, Lord, or something. Thank You, Lord. Owe me something. Okay. Yeah. That was more for my benefit, just loosening up. Number one, our surrender to God, and you can just write our surrender to God, dot, 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 number one, must be absolute. The terms of surrender are given by the conqueror, not the conquered. God expects you to surrender. He commands you to surrender. It's non-negotiable, and it will be tested. If he's king and we say we bow our knee and everyone will declare that he is Lord, which means you have conquered not just my past, but my present and my future. Conqueror means he owns it. You were bought with a price, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of the Son of God. And I think sometimes we focused on not being immoral, but we've not lived surrendered. I want to be the joyful surrenderer. Because I know who the king is. He's not tyrannical. He's kind. And his loving kindness, his the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. They never come to an end. Why wouldn't I surrender to him? Because we don't know him. There is no other kind of surrender in the spiritual realm except unconditional. And if you're halfway surrendered, we've been deceived. You're not surrendered. Surrender. When somebody puts a gun in your back, hey, you ain't got to see their face. You're not looking if they're black or white or of Latino descent or if they're rich or poor, ugly or pretty. You just, hey, you're holding all the cards, just whatever you want me to do. What does that look like to you? Worship. Lord God, I get, hey, whatever, just tell me what you want from me, but not out of a fear that's, the fear of the Lord is pure. It's not one of those, you'll kill me. It's, you'll do good by me. And I surrender my life. There is no such thing as a conditional surrender to God. We've been deceived. You either are or you aren't. It's kind of like being pregnant. You can't kind of be pregnant. You can't kind of shoot a shotgun. You either are or you aren't. And the terms of the surrender, can you imagine a conquered nation telling the conquering nation, well, this is what you'll have to do for us to surrender. It's shut your mouth. We conquered you. We now own this land, and we've been conquered wonderfully. Belief without surrender is nothing more than man's attempt at religion. Belief without surrender is the birthplace of every form of pride and arrogance. Belief without surrender brings about confusion. That's why Christians are into all kind of stupid stuff, bizarre stuff. I saw this article on Google News, or it was Charisma Magazine, I think, on Google News, where they're going to the grave sites of dead saints, and they call it grave soaking. Like, they use the story about Elisha's bones bringing somebody back to life, and they're sitting on top of the burial place of dead saints, and you're wondering, what? Where do you get this? Because they are following their own understandings, their own leadings. They're in control. There's not been the surrender, because the word of God would clearly tell them not to look to anyone that's passed away. That we don't pray to dead saints. We don't pray to living saints, much less dead saints. And confusion comes when, okay, who has the final say in your life? The final say, that's who's the Lord. Some of you, it's yourself. Others of us, it's someone else. It can be some pastor or bishop or pope or cardinal. Don't you trust your soul to another man. We don't trust ourselves. We surely don't trust this world that's lost its mind. Confusion comes from varying voices that make their decisions based on myths, dis, and incomplete information. That's where confusion comes. Clarity comes from the one that surrendered to the words and the ways of the Lord Jesus. Belief without surrender gives license to carnality. It's void of the spirit, it dwarfs the soul, and it destroys the body. Belief without surrender is powerless. Your power does not come in an accumulation of facts concerning the Lord Jesus. It's when you come in behind him and you're in the train of his glory and he deflects anything that comes your way. The authority is found behind the train. The authority is found behind the train. So I'm in him. I'm behind him. What weapon formed against me can prosper? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the... Okay, so the shadow means he's in, and he's a lot bigger. See? Power. Oh, we had some witches move in the neighborhood, and they drew a pentagram in the backyard, and they killed a chicken. And poured chicken blood on the pentagram. I'm thinking, did they cook him? Is there any chicken left over? I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm telling you, that stuff shouldn't... You're going to curse me? I stand in the train of the King of Kings. I'm not worried about you. Got a piece of my hair and going to curse me. You can't curse me. You can't curse what's blessed. And I'm not standing in my own arrogance. I'm in the shadow. I'm not confused. You can't keep me here a day longer than I'm supposed to be, and you can't take me out a day early. And if the Lord decides to take me home through old age, disease, kids wearing you out, whatever he decides to do. Get back to my first point. What is it? It's got to be absolute. Number two, it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of perception. Back to our story. Who is speaking? What is being said and who is being spoken to? Listen. Who is speaking? What is being said and who's he speaking to? And God called unto Abraham and he said, "Here I am. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains." You can't surrender to a voice you don't hear. You can't surrender to a voice you don't know. And if you are not walking closely with the Lord, you can't live a surrendered life because you don't hear him. That's why we go try to hear his voice in somebody else's book, somebody else's sermon. And please hear me. A pastor, a teacher, a preacher, you are supposed to receive benefit. You are supposed to receive instruction and even hear the word of the Lord. But Sunday morning ought to be an echo of the same voice you hear all during the week. You don't think just because I said, I just hear from him. It ought to be that that's what the Lord's been telling me already. Because this voice can change. This voice can sin. This voice can be confused. But God, there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got to be able to hear his voice. His sheep hear his, I hear it myself. Let me tell you, people say, how do you know it's the Lord's voice? It would be like saying, Jason, describe your wife's voice to me in such a way that if I'd never met her, if she called on the phone, I'd say, well, hey, Wanda. You'd go, okay, it's a little more animated than mine, a little more opinionated than mine, a little more numerous than mine, but I wouldn't know her voice. How can someone tell you God's voice? They can't. You know it for yourself. You know it for yourself. So to obey, and here's where you got to be careful. God may require something of you and you try to tell your friends and all of them look at you like you're crazy because they didn't hear what you heard. And we ain't getting out of this without being crazy. We are not getting out of this. Now, if he tells me something, it'll never contradict his word or his ways. But wait a minute, John. Killing a child, that's what the pagans do. I know. Well, you just said he won't ask you to do anything that's sinful. All I can explain to you in his sovereignty is he knew he wouldn't let him. He wasn't looking for Abraham to kill a boy. He was looking for Abraham to give an unconditional surrender. And he doesn't let us follow through like somebody. God told me to leave my husband and this is my new husband. No, he didn't. How do you know? Because he didn't. Okay. So it's a matter of perception. You can't surrender to a voice you've not heard. Number three, it's a matter of preparation. Verse 3 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two young men and Isaac, his son. He chopped the wood. He rose up and went to the place which God had told him. The expression of surrender cannot happen without the preparation for surrender. It happens in your heart before you ever work it out, and you must be the one that work it out. When he said, go offer your son, he had to chop wood. He had to gather the mule together. He had to take rations. It takes effort, a preparation to do what God's asked you to do. Okay, God's called me to ministry. Well, are you preparing for ministry? What do you mean? Is your life consumed with study and prayer and exercising your gift? Whatever God's called you to do, the evidence that you've heard is the preparation to obey. Not the obeying, the preparation to obey. The chopping of the wood. He said, we have to get this thing ready. We've got to get it done. I very rarely obeyed in a particular specific incident that I was not prepared to fulfill that calling that God called me to. Paul said it this way. He said, I've considered all things but loss. So everything, except for the excellency and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. He said, the only way I could suffer the loss of those things is I'd already counted them loss. I'd prepared myself that there was no condition upon his lordship. Whether you keep me, protect me, answer me, do what I ask, do what I'm not. Unconditional obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we prepare to do that. We prepare in our heart that we, okay, he says, pray it this way, that you be accounted worthy to escape the great and terrible day of the Lord. What does that mean? Prepare for it. Be ready to give an answer unto all men. Be ready to suffer lack and not turn on the Lord. Be ready to suffer loss and not turn on the Lord. Be ready for the lights to go out and trust in the light. Get yourself ready. Be prepared. You prepare as it's up to you, but then you live as if it's up to God. No frets, no worries. I'm ready. The house built upon the rock did what? Built. Who built it? The person. Jesus said, the one that hears my words and does them is like the man that built his house. God didn't build the house. You're preparing for your tomorrow. What are you going to do when the lights go off? What are you going to do when the report comes back malignant? What are you going to do when the spouse walks out? What are you going to do when the child suffers? What are you going to do? I don't want to talk about it. We have to talk about it. We have to be ready. And if we hear the voice, my safest security that brings me the most freedom is I put everything in his basket. And if you can't keep it, it can't be kept. We want guarantees. If you want a guarantee, buy a toaster. You can't make God, okay, God, you have to do this, God, do this. But the more we know him, I'm going to trust the one that knows everything, can do anything, sees all things, and loved me enough to die naked on a cross. I think I'm going to trust you. Submission. The most misused, misrepresented word in my first 20 years of preaching was when I heard sermons on submission. And they told that wife, you submit unto the husband, unto all things, as unto the Lord. I'm like, great day. And that meant no opinion. You don't have any strength. You don't have any understanding. You don't have any wisdom. You're mindless. Good thing your husband come around to lead you in the way of everlasting truth. The scripture that came before it said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Any woman would follow a man that would bleed naked on a cross in her place. Any woman. So the submission follows the understanding of who they are. We don't submit because we don't know him. We don't recognize him and we don't appreciate him. I trust one person with my wife and my babies. One. And right behind him, I'm next in line. More than more, yep. And if you were to ask my wife, she'd say, God, then me, and then John. I take our girls swimming almost every day there at the little community pool. And I'm telling you, stay with your daddy. If something happens to one of y'all, I can't come home. Y'all can't, nothing can happen to you. And who you trust them with. Have y'all ever had people, oh, we'll take your baby for you. And you don't know them, you go, mm-mm. Or you know them and you say, mm-mm. Y'all ain't even got hygiene up in your house. No. Cooking. Have you ever been to somebody's house and they cook? Come on in. Come on in. I'm just getting over pneumonia. Like, now we're all getting over it. Okay. All right. We all right? Y'all good? Number four, it's a matter of perseverance. Our surrender to God is not a one-time event. It is a one-time event, but it is worked out progressively. It said in verse 4 that on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Some paths of obedience take longer to travel than others. When the Lord tells you, I want you in school, go back to school. Lord, that's 4 years and I wasn't a good student when I was young. That's going to be a long road. We started our family, I was 50. I'm like, Lord, hey, you have never met a guy that I love being a daddy, but the energy level. First of all, when you wake up, how many about it over 50? Just over 50. Okay, this will bless you. When you sleep good. I mean, springtime, 71 degrees, window open, attic fan, good. And you wake up and they go, how'd you sleep? Well, good. How you feel? I'm tired. We wake up tired. When you feel good, you're tired. And when you feel bad, it's, Lord, just call in sick. I'm calling in dead. I can't even go. I can't go. And if you're going to walk with Christ and you're going to live surrendered, you need to understand that some things that he asks you to do are a 3 days journey and they're far off. And when I answered the call to preach, ignorant little 24-year-old boy, and started preparing, I'm going to tell you something. This has been a rewarding, fulfilling, far above anything I could have ever asked. But it's been a long haul here, buddy. And those of you that raised your babies by yourself, that was a long haul. You follow me? And you got to persevere to be surrendered to the Lord and to obey, to be faithful with your life, your gifts, your resources, your finances. There comes a season in every form of obedience where you go, you know, great day, are we ever going to get there? And we just keep following. Surrender, if you only surrender to the things you can do in a moment, you're not going to surrender much. It's, Lord, I committed to you, and I'm going to keep my word to you. Watch, I'm going to keep my word to my creditors. I'm going to keep my word to my family. God, I'm going to the best of my ability. And what the devil does is, can you see the end? Can you see the end? No, if I was you, I'd quit. I can't, because no man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is even fit for the kingdom of God. We have to flesh out our commitments to God. Number five, it's a matter of worship. And Abraham said unto his young men, y'all stay here with the donkey and the stuff, and me and my boy will go yonder and worship. This is what separates professors and possessors. When you can talk about offering God the thing, the promised thing, the precious thing, the irreplaceable thing, the thing that your future is tied up in. All his hopes were tied up in Isaac, and he called it worship. This type of worship is pure. It is personal. It is singular. It is emotional. And it's individual. It's, no one can offer that for you. May I tell you what our problem is? Ours. I'm grouping me with ours. We're trying to pull worship out of people that don't feel it. What do you mean I give you glory? Listen to me. I love you. Why am I going to stand and sing, I give you glory, glory, when I'm not telling him all week, may my life give you glory, may my life give you glory? Christians have been known to sing lies, not tell them. I hit something then, didn't I? How can you expect me to give you my only son if I can't even help the poor? So the issue for us, see, it's not a matter of, can you leave today? Oh, could I give my boy? Could I give my boy? That's not the question. The question is, have you given it all to God? Unconditional. And I have found, it's like you see these martyrs that kneel before a crazed lunatic with a bayonet at his throat. How do you have the energy and the capacity in that moment, thinking of your wife and your children back home? How do you do that? The only way the Christian man can do that is he had prepared for that by saying, everything I have is yours. And in the moment, God gives dying grace to the dying. He gives strength in the moment. It's not in the man, it's in the moment. Great grace comes upon you. When, like I told you last week, when they went to crucify Peter, he goes, flip me upside down. I'm not even worthy to die like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't planning those words. It just kind of came out of him. And we're so worried about how we do if he asks for our son. And that's where we're stumbling. The issue is not what do you do with your children. The issue is, do you have an unconditional surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, you will have the grace to navigate every incident and season in your life. Unconditional surrender. It's a matter of trust. Verse 5b, look in your Bible. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So he called it worship and he said, we're coming back. This surrender is a matter of trust. While we trust, we must deal with some painful questions. The little boy said, Father, I see the fire in the wood, but where's the lamb? I've had to face some very terrible questions before in my walk with the Lord. I cannot picture in my mind if my little girl said, I see the fire in the wood, Daddy, but where's the burn off? Where's the lamb? Painful questions. The what ifs that haunt you. The what ifs. And that's where the devil comes, using the tactic of fear. God's gonna, he accuses God of doing what he does. God's gonna destroy you. No, God came that I would have life and have it more abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you're not exempt from the painful questions. While we trust, we must deal with painful vulnerabilities. Abraham said, God will provide. What if he doesn't? God will provide. What if he doesn't? When you obey God and you surrender to God, you've now become vulnerable because you're not driving your ship anymore. How many of you, when you go out with your friends, you got to drive? You ain't driving, man. I'm sorry. The Lord graced me with a genuine reason because all my life I get motion sick. I told a pastor one time, he picked me up at the airport and I said, hey, good to meet you. Can I drive? And he goes, what? I said, I get motion sick. You need to be more positive. I'm positive I get motion sick. You know what he told me? I just met him. He goes, it's in your mind. I said, well, it's going to be in your floor if you don't let me drive. That's what I told him. The other thing is, now we're being honest. I don't trust you. All distracted and crazy and scratching and playing on the phone and looking back at your... No. There's cars coming the other direction. I trust me. Because even if I'm distracted, I have such hand-eye motor skills that I can get out of the way. That's what I feel. So if I give you the wheel to the car, and the few times, well, Kelly graces me and lets me drive, but the few times she's driving, I'm horrible. Oh, look, whoa, she scares her death. She just pulls over. You drive. You're just killing me. You drive. Because if I let you drive, I'm vulnerable to your skill set, attention span, distractions. Why do you think you're a better driver than God? That's one of the highest forms of idolatry. Do you understand that? The devil's not God. There's only one God, and I'm a better driver than he is. Give me the keys to my family. You see? It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of participation. Abraham built the altar. He laid the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. He responded to God's command personally, immediately, without question, complaint, or fear. That statement right there, you could close today's lesson and go home. He responded to God's command, whatever it was, personally, immediately, without question, complaint, or fear. He woke up early the next morning and said, let's go. Let's go. Your pastor generally wants to honor the Lord with every part of my life. I'm not a fearful person. I don't live in fear of what's going to happen to my wife or my babies or me. You know, what's that on my arm? It's a bump. I got bumps everywhere. I'm not living in fear. I'm not worried about it. But I leave pockets of stuff that I want to control or keep. Well, the Lord, you got 95% of everything. Do you understand that it is all or nothing? Now, not performance, the heart, all or nothing. It's like my wife coming home and saying, and I said, well, sugar, smells like another man's cologne. She goes, well, it's only like once or twice a year. I mean, think about it. First of all, he's got about 24 hours to live. But do you see the reasoning? Now, I'm not deceived. I see some guy on a movie screen. He's 30 years old and washboard and, you know, full head of hair and dark skin. I'm like, I would think she'd find him attractive. Options are there. Guys hit on her all the time. We went into Outback one day and the table of, you can tell all the guys grouped together, you know, no girls, just all the guys at the table, like three or four of them, and God bless them. They kind of just walked me come in and they looked at her and looked at me and looked at her and looked at me. And then they looked at me like that and I stopped and I went, it ain't right, is it, buddy? And walked on. That's what I told them. But what if she said, what if she acted? You ought to be just happy with most of the time. We're not only conquered, we're his spouse. And he's not asking us to live perfectly in the sense he knows our frame. He pities us. We're nothing but dust. But he does ask for a heart that says, I'm yours and I'm nobody else's. And if I'm a mess, I'm your mess. But I'm yours. There's no confusion. Have you unconditionally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Is it willing? Is it joyful? And is it consistent? Our surrender to God is to have no limits. Abraham was not only willing to lose his own son, but kill his only son to obey the voice of the Lord. If our surrender has limits, then it's conditional. And the devil's trick is to try to bring you to a specific issue and think about that. And that's not the call. The calling is, does God have everything? And then from there, trust that God will give you grace to navigate any of the details. It is to have no limits. Notice, too, that Abraham had absolute faith that God, he had absolute faith that accompanied his absolute surrender. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Abraham offered up Isaac, accounting that God was raising him up even from the dead. And his thinking was this, accounting, an accounting term, math, has no feelings, no emotions, it is fact. He said, if God takes something from me, he can give it right back to me. I ain't worried about it. I know God's too wise to make a mistake and he's too loving to be unkind. And the rest for the believer comes not in controlling his own life, but throw into the keys to the one that neither slumbers nor sleep and has never had a wreck. Ben, if you'd come this morning with me. It's a matter of proving. Our surrender to God is a matter of proving. An angel called from heaven. So picture the boy who's a perfect type of Christ. I wish I had time, but I don't. Perfect type of Christ, that when he said, God will provide a lamb, and as he stretched the boy out on the altar, he never made a sound. As Christ gave himself up willingly to die in our place, he's a perfect type of the Christ that was to come. I wonder what was going through Abraham's mind as he tied the boy up. He's not only going to kill him, burn him. It was a burnt offering unto God. He raises the knife to plunge into his boy's chest, and his boy, you know, is looking right up at him. And from heaven comes a sound. Abraham! Look, I never saw this till I was preparing this message for you. Abraham! Here I am, Lord, right in the middle of your will. Here I am, where? In front of my boy. At the thing that scares me to death. I'm at the place of losing the irreplaceable thing. Here I am, Lord. And he goes, oh, Abraham, Abraham. God doesn't want to kill our boy. He wants us to have unconditional surrender to him. Because it not only proves our faith, please hear this, it proves his character. Even if I lost it, you could give it back to me. That's what honors God. It's not the burying of the child. It's the mama that reaches over and kisses that little baby in that casket and says, I see you in the morning, sugar. And sorrow is her closest friend for months and months and years. It's we're going to walk. We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to experience things. You're not getting out of this without something traumatic. But it's the one that trusteth in the Lord that's unmovable. Nothing eternal can be lost that's been committed to him. Do you hear me? Nothing eternal can be lost that's committed to him. God is able to keep that which has been committed unto him against that day. He keeps it. Our surrender to God is a matter of revelation. So, what are the odds of him lifting up a knife, God speaking out of heaven, and him turning behind him after God said, don't kill your boy, and there's a ram caught in a thicket behind him? Never saw that till this week. I always thought it was, you'd have to be in front of him to see it, right? No, it was behind him. Behind your obedience is every provision you'll ever need. Behind it. And he turned and he said, Jehovah Jireh. I wish your pastor was smart enough to communicate it as rich as it is. In the mount of the Lord, it's provide what? The mount where you obey him. Wherever there's surrender, there's provision. Where I would have titled it that. Wherever there's surrender, there's provision. Wherever there's surrender, there's provision. And finally, it's a matter of blessing. So he took the ram. So am I thinking this right? Here's a mountain. Not a hill like out behind a construction site, a mountain. So if it's going to be right behind him the whole time he's walking up with Isaac, the provision was following him all the way up the mountain. Right? Just waiting. And God's telling the ram, he goes, hold it, 3, 2, 1, squirrel. And he jumps in a thicket. Some rams just don't walk up to a thicket and go, how can I get tangled into this? Some lunch walked by, had to, or God just, or willed it. And that ram was caught in the thicket. And he said, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And he untied his son. And his son is watching. The grandfather or the father of all faith tied that lamb up, killed it, put his hands on it as it bled out. Okay? And then God spoke again. See, we're so afraid God's going to ask something from us. But the same voice that asks something from you gives something to you. He said, oh, Abraham, because you have unconditionally surrendered to me and have proven it, I swear, see, I got to swear by something. And you're not stable enough, and I'm not going to swear by the governments of the world or nations. I swear by myself that I'm going to bless your life. There's more to it than that. That includes the nation of Israel. But why were these things written aforetime? For our learning, that we would come to understanding. Whatever is surrendered to him is blessed. It's blessed. I'm preparing for my family as if something could happen to me. I am. I'm older. My wife goes, oh, don't talk like that. No. You know, some preachers in their 50s just bite a Pop-Tart and fall over. They're just gone. And to me, I'd rather talk about the stuff than, okay, so where's your confidence come in, John? Well, I'm working. Of course, my calling, what I love to do, preaching, you know, got a realtor's license and everything that comes in on real estate, we're putting on the house and everything. But where's the blessing lie? I don't know how else to tell you but to tell this. It's all his. My wife, the one the Lord used to heal me, Olivia, Isabel, Elisha, Jimmy, Kylie, Katie, Haley, Sabra, everything I have is yours. And the blessing upon my life is not because I'm a good person. We're not good people. I'm his. And he's not going to bless something that's not his. Are you surrendered? Are you surrendered unconditionally? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. How do you respond to today? I'm not asking you, are you saved? Whatever would come out of your spirit that you want to offer the Lord, and it's not a thought, you have to say it. It could be everything, Lord. Everything. My babies, whatever it is, Lord, there's that one pocket that I've not trusted you in. I don't want to enter into these last days not surrendered. People talking to the Lord all over the building. What would you tell him today? Church family, would you stand with me this morning? I don't know who this would be for, and I want to be very clear whenever I do anything like this, because of the foolishness that goes on in churches often, I'm sorry to say. You could just say, a pastor could say something, and it's going to apply to somebody. But I really believe I heard the Lord's. I believe I have a word for someone. For Abraham, he would say something like this. Why would you not give back to the Lord the thing that was supernaturally given to you? He was too old to have an Isaac. You told people how faithful God was to do this for you. And that same faithful God can be trusted to keep that thing he did for you. My prayer for you is that you go home today and you start experiencing the weightlessness of unconditional surrender. You can lose it all. Already lost it all. I'll take your house. Don't have a house. Gone. That's why you, what could you do to the Apostle Paul? They say, we'll kill you. Would you please? I've been praying whether to go home and be with the Lord, and it's more profitable for the churches. We'll put you in prison. Could you take me back to Philippi? I'd almost won the jailer to the Lord there. What do you do with nothing? Because once you've died, you've been conquered, there's nothing left to do but live. So, Father, publicly, everything I have is yours. Joyfully, willingly. And we surrender our lives to you, oh Lord, in a deeper and more simplistic way than ever before. Thank you for my many blessings, oh Lord. And let perfect love cast out all fear. And may we call upon your name and tell people that when God asks something for us, we're going to worship him that way. Give us grace, oh Lord, to navigate painful places, painful questions and difficult places, because we account unto you the capacity to even raise our children from the dead. I give you praise today for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.